Good morning.
Morning.
I didn't say good morning earlier because I wanted to say it now. It is good to see everyone here, not only to just have some place to be, but because we serve a God who loves us, who cares for us, who wants us to seek Him diligently. In John chapter 4, we've been really talking about worship and being pleasing to Him. And we learn there in verse 23 that He is seeking true worshipers. True worshipers. That means people who do things the way that God wants it done. And He tells us there in verse 24 that He is spirit, God is spirit, and those that worship Him must worship in spirit and in truth. We have to have the right attitude. Our minds must be set to do it. And we also have to do it in a prescribed way that God says, this is what I want. It's nothing new. You look into the Old Testament, God told the Israelites exactly how to worship Him. He even gave detailed instructions on how to build the temple. Explicit instructions on who was to do the serving in the temple. Explicit instructions on day-to-day activities. God was very, very detailed when He talked about how they were to serve Him. God seeks people to worship Him, true worshipers. And so I believe that we are. That's our attempt. Our attempt is to please God. And so one of the ways, the thing that we're going to talk about this morning, is how we worship Him in our songs. Because we gathered together last week, we talked about worshiping Him in prayer and what that looks like, and that how we do it in spirit and in truth. Sometimes we don't get it right. We keep trying. The Bible, specifically the New Testament, authorizes Christian worship, singing. If you remember in Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, Caleb said it just a moment ago, whatever we do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. That phrase, in the name of, remember what it means? By the authority of. Whatever we are doing in word, by what we're saying or what we're doing, must be by His authority. And so when we look at the New Testament, we see many, many instances where it teaches us as Christians to sing and worship. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 15. We read this last Sunday in talking about prayer, verse 14. But verse 15 says, what is the conclusion then? I will pray with the Spirit. I will also pray with understanding. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will also sing with the understanding. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19. These are some of the highlights. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. And then verse 16 of Colossians chapter 3. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. These are just three places. There are many others in the New Testament where it talks about we as the followers of Christ sing. As a matter of fact, when Jesus was with His disciples and He was teaching them about the Lord's Supper, when they were partaking of that Passover meal, and Jesus was teaching them, afterwards says they went out and sung a hymn. They sung after that. We talked about a couple weeks ago the very word worship. What's the word? Well, the word specifically there in John is proskuneo. And what that means literally, if you break it down, means to kiss towards. To kiss towards. So our worship has to have intention, meaning we have to intend to do it. That means that not everything we do is worship. And I'll give you an example. For instance, let's say that someone, we come here, we have people of all ages. Let's say a mom shows up with a baby. Okay? Comes in here. And the baby's diaper needs changed. We're worshiping, right? Baby's diaper needs changed, so mom steps out to change the baby's diaper. Is she worshiping? Probably not. Because she's taking care of that. When she comes back in, she can engage back into worship. That's the example I always give. It's about intention and direction. We have to intend to do it and we have to direct it. If we're directing it in the wrong place, it's not worship as well. Spirit and in truth. So let's look at some principles related to being in spirit. So a couple of the passages, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19, and also Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, tells us that it has to come from where? It comes from our heart. He said in Ephesians 5:19 that we are to sing, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. And Colossians says, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Our hearts must be in it. In order for it to be in spirit, our hearts have to be in it. What does that look like? It's probably different for different people. I can only say for myself, when I sing, I do everything I can to make sure my heart's in it. So we're talking about being in it. We also say, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 15 says we have to sing with understanding. How important is that to God? What are we singing? Psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. When we look at our songbook, these songs, if you notice at the top, have scripture references. Or they have, like up in the corner, it'll say songs of praise and adoration. But there, a lot of times you'll have different psalms that are mentioned, hymns, and spiritual songs. So when we sing with understanding, we have to concentrate on the words. We're not just going through the songs and just saying the words. We have to consider the messages of the song. That's what we're talking about when we're talking about singing in the spirit. When we sing it, we have to mean it. Go back to the song that we just sung. Open your songbook to 103. Notice, up at the top, Psalm 100, verse 4. This is a psalm. And the psalm says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. What does it mean? When I come to God, I'm going to come in knowing and being thankful for everything that he's done. And notice, it's in my heart. I'm going to enter his courts with praise. Courts, temple, that's where God is. In the Old Testament, under which this psalm would have, you know, the psalm would have been written, talks about going into the temple to worship. I'm going to enter his courts with praise. I'm going to say this is the day the Lord has made. That's what Jesus said every day. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. So those are some of the things. That's an easy song. Okay, that's easy to... A lot of the songs that we sing, if you'll notice, start off and they kind of build a story as they go. Why do you think it does that? To help our minds follow it. So this is one thing I think we all need to work on. And this is why we have lessons like this, because we say, okay, is my spirit into the songs we sing? It's pretty important. I know it's important to God. What about singing in truth? I know for a fact that there are some songs, even in this book, that aren't exactly truthful to the Word of God, is what I'm saying. So, do we still sing them? We do if we don't know it. If we don't know the song that's wrong. But when we're thinking about the specific psalms, we're talking about the Old Testament psalms, many of which we sing very regularly. Hymns are specifically psalms or songs of praise. And spiritual songs promote devotion. So a lot of the songs that we looked at this morning or sung this morning were psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. That's what we do in worship. So we must worship Him in truth by the songs that we sing. So not only that, what are the songs about? Who are they to? Notice Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19, Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. In both of those passages identifies who's it to. And this is what tells us it's worship. Singing in our hearts to the Lord. Both times. We are to sing to Him. But not only that, look at Ephesians 5:19 and Colossians 3:16 again. We're also doing it for one another. Speaking to one another. Teaching one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. So not only is it during worship to where we're praising God, we're worshiping Him, we're glorifying Him, we're remembering all the things that He does for us, and that's what these songs elicit. Songs go back to the first century. The Christians, early Christians, as we see, sung hymns, psalms, and spiritual songs. Since we teach each other why we sing, again, the songs must be truthful. We have to do it in a way that is prescribed in the New Testament. Now, a lot of people stumble with this part because we live in a day and a time where you can go out there in the world and you can find different religious organizations and they don't do it the same way. For instance, they'll have an orchestra or they'll have a band and they'll do singing and along with that, or they'll have an organ or a piano. It's not about what I think is right. It's about what God wants. So in the Old Testament, they'll say, well, God allowed it. If God allowed it then, what about now? Why not now? Well, it's true. God allowed worship of specific instruments, stringed instruments, trumpets, different times, different places, but there were specific instructions again. The only time these were to be played would have been in the outer courts. And it was at that direction. Okay? Everybody on page with that? So, in order to apply it today, we would all have to be in Jerusalem with the temple in order to do this. And we'd all have to play an instrument because we have to do it to one another. Does everyone know how to play an instrument? Oops, we're in trouble. Better learn. Add to that, where's the temple at? It's not there. It was destroyed. And now there's a Muslim mosque over the top of it. So there is no way for us to go back into the Old Testament and worship God as He prescribed. Not only that, when we look at the New Testament, we learn that the New Testament is spiritual in nature. God does not dwell in a temple made with hands like He did in Jerusalem. Where does He dwell today? right here in our hearts. God says that. His word tells us that. So when we sing and make melody in our hearts to the Lord, is that what God wants? It's spiritual. When we pray from our hearts to the Lord, is that spiritual? We talked about last week how Jesus made a comment about the Pharisees and how when they go about praying, they make, you know, big, you know, concessions. They make these big processions of being able to pray in public and doing all these things. And he says, you know what? He says, you go and you pray in your home in private. Don't make a public spectacle of it. It has to be done in heart. It's not about the mechanics of it. Jesus said, in vain do they worship me, teaching as traditions or teaching the doctrine of men as the thing, not as in what God says. Colossians chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. Notice what Paul writes here. So let's back up to verse 11. In him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us. And he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. See, in the sin, in the law was devised to show us that we couldn't keep it. And if you break one, you break them all. So Paul is bringing up there in Colossians, say, you have been separated from that, from the law, because of Jesus, because of his blood. Jesus canceled the handwriting that was against us. And we have been set free. Now I want you to look over in Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. We've been studying this on our Wednesday nights. Let's start verse 1. Galatians 5, beginning verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. And do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. And I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised that he is a debtor to keep the whole law. So in Galatians, Paul was trying to combat the idea of people were coming in there and saying, okay, you Gentiles, you obeyed the gospel, you were buried with him in water, you have put on Christ. Now you need to go back and you need to be circumcised. That was a Jewish ordinance. You need to go back and follow the law. Because if you don't, you're not really saved. That's what they were telling them. But Paul was trying to show them, he says, no, when you put on Christ, that's all you need. You don't need any of the effects of a law. Notice he said there, every man, verse 3, who becomes circumcised, that he is a debtor to keep the whole law. Verse 4, you have become estranged from Christ, you who attempt to be justified by the law. You have fallen from grace. It's either Christ or nothing. There's no addition, there's no taking away. So when we talk about in reference to worship, God has told us, He has shown us in His Word how He wants to be worshiped. It's up to us to determine whether or not we're willing to do it that way. That's one of the things that God has always given us. He's always given us the choice. We can choose each day to wake up to serve God or to serve ourselves. We can wake up every day and choose, I'm going to do this, even though I know that I shouldn't do it, I'm going to do it. Or I'm going to do what God wants me to do every day. We are being prepared to be in the presence of God for all eternity. Don't you think that should make us want to do more and more to be pleasing to Him? So when we're talking about singing, we have to be sure that the principles that we follow are related to truth and spirit. No matter what. No matter at what point in time, or you know, it could be when we're by ourselves. If you're worshiping to God, it has to be done in His way. So that's the lesson. It was short because I made it with the songs to kind of go with it. It was kind of interesting how God worked that all out. If you're here this morning, maybe you've been going through some difficulties in life. Been struggling with your commitment, your faith. You could all probably answer that. Maybe you're here and you're not a Christian. You want to become one. You want to learn what the Bible teaches. Again, it's God's word, not mine, to be saved. What do you do? Is there a certain process that we must do? Obviously, the Bible tells us we need to repent and be baptized for forgiveness of our sins. If you are here and you've not done that, or you just like for us to pray for you, whatever the needs are, now's the time to come while we stand and sing the song of invitation.